Praise the Lord. How many know who they are in Christ Jesus? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. It is round three for me here. Amen. I preach Friday, Sunday morning, and now here I am again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doing what I love to do. I wouldn't rather be doing anything else, amen, but to preaching the Word of God. Amen. God called me to be a preacher. Amen. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen. As long as the Lord gives me strength and breath, anointing, amen, His favor, amen, His blessings, and I'm going to preach the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll preach to dead bones if I have to. I know about earning my bones. Amen. We learned about that this morning. And we're going to continue to learn about that. Amen. We're going to continue to learn about, we're going to stay in the same vein. So tonight I titled the message, How About Your Bones? Look to your neighbor and tell him, how about your bones? Praise the Lord. Amen. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Amen. That's going to be our text here tonight. Amen. I'm not going to try to be too long here this evening. Amen. But I do want to share this message with you. Amen. You can even call it like a part two from this morning's message. We had a great time this morning. Amen. Powerful service. Amen. God moved in such a special way. Amen. Even after the service, just a beautiful presence. Amen. And there was just an overflow. Amen. There was just an overflow. Amen. Of joy and peace and anointing. And even through the people, through their generosity here this morning. Amen. It was just a big blessing here this morning. Amen. And we want to continue. Amen. How many know, you know, that Sunday's the Lord's Day. Amen. And it's good to be back in God's house. Amen. Good to be back in God's house. And, you know, so we're here again. And for those that weren't with us, we welcome you here tonight to be with us, to worship, amen, and to hear God's word. How many know, you know, it's important, amen, to be in church on Sunday, amen, to be in the house of the Lord. And this is why we offer the evening service, amen, because, you know, sometimes people might miss the morning service. And so we want them to come in the evenings, but then also for the church to get a double dose of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Amen. A double dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've never heard of anybody overdosing off of too much of God. No one's ever overdosed off of too much of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know that there's a lot of hungry lions out there that say they want more. Does anybody want more? Amen. And so that's why we're here tonight. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. I want to read it here tonight out of the King James Version. It says this. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Look to your neighbor and tell him, how about your bones? Father, bless the reading of your word anointed to our hearts here tonight. Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. I pray that you would give me anointing, God, to preach. Strengthen me, God. Take full control, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege once again to deliver your word. God, I pray that you would minister to everybody here, to everybody watching through Facebook Live and YouTube podcast. Lord, that you would just minister, God, as they hear the word being preached. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So have your way this evening in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. How about your bones? This morning I talked about earning your bones. Earning your bones. Talked about earning your bones. Been preaching out of Samuel, the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. This morning our text was 1 Samuel chapter 11. And we talked about how even though Saul had been anointed to be the first king of the children of Israel,
hallelujah,
he still had not gained the confidence and the trust of the people.
Come on.
And so therefore, Saul
how to earn his bones. It's like us. We can't just show up and think we can have a voice or think that we can have a raise or think that we should be treated in a certain type of way. We have to learn to earn our bones. We have to learn to climb up the ladder, to wait our turn. We talked about that this morning, and I gave three ways on how Saul earned his bones from chapter 11. We talked about how the first one was his personal sacrifice. He earned his bones through his personal sacrifice. He gave of his oxen, and he made a personal sacrifice. He made a statement through that. Then, too, we talked about how he had a public victory. Not a victory for himself, but a victory for the public. We talked about how some people like victories for themselves. But listen, we're not here in it for ourselves. But we're in it to win battles for somebody else. We talked about how when we take care of God's business, God will take care of our business. The third thing that caused Saul to earn his bones was he pardoned people. He pardoned people. He forgave. He forgave those that were hating on him. And we tied these three points into our Lord and Savior Jesus. That Jesus, even though he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, still came and worked for his bones. He still came. And what did he do? He also gave a personal sacrifice, his own life. Huh? He also had a public victory that he died for others. He didn't die for himself. He died for others. Then we talked about how he pardoned us all. And that's how he earned his bones. And Victory Outreach, if we're going to earn our bones, we're going to have to do the same thing. Amen. We have to do the same thing. And so tonight I want to talk to you about how about your bones? How about your bones? Come on now. We have to earn our bones. Amen. In the ministry, in life. Today people just want a handout. They want things for free. Come on. Today everything's made easy. We live in a microwave generation. But the problem is that we serve a crockpot God. Amen. God doesn't do things fast. Right. He likes to slow cook you. Yeah. Huh? He likes to slow cook you. You're in the men's home, God is slow cooking you. Huh? God is slow cooking you. You're in the slow cooker. You got to earn our bones. Listen. If you desire leadership, if you desire to do something for God, you're going to have to earn your bones. You're going to have to earn your bones in building that Bible study leaders. You want to come up, you want to preach, and you want to take a city. And listen, you're going to have to build that ministry. You're going to have to build that Bible study. You're going to have to make some disciples. You want to earn your bones. That's how you earn your bones. It's by getting into some public battles. Fighting some battles for others. I know we like to fight battles for us, but can you fight a battle for somebody else? Huh? Earning your bones is all about helping people. Helping people. We talked about that this morning. Helping people out of their mess. See, earning your bones is to live a life of discipleship. I learned early on, listen, in when we pioneered the church, me and my wife, 8 years ago when we started the church, I learned that, listen, people ain't just going to come and just follow us. And the people ain't going to come and just listen to us. People ain't just going to come. They're going to come. And what's going to happen is that that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I knew that I was going to have to earn my bones with people. I knew how to earn my bones with the leaders that we have today, with the people that we have today. I had to earn my bones with them. I had to gain their trust. I had to gain their confidence. I am your pastor because I gained your confidence. I gained your trust. Me and my wife gained that. And we understood that it's all because of discipleship. And listen, if we're going to earn our, if we're going to build the ministry, if we're going to reach people for Christ and make disciples the way God wants us to make disciples, the way Jesus said it in Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, to go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, then people are going to have to trust us. People are going to have to trust us enough that they follow us. And the only way that we do that is by earning our bones with them. They have to see my life. They have to see your life. They have to see that we're the real deal Holyfield. We ain't trying to pull the okey-doke. We ain't trying to get rich. We ain't trying to pull the wool over their eyes. But our love is sincere. Our faith is sincere. Our mission is pure. Our vision is from God. Listen, we ain't trying to trick nobody. We're just trying to serve God. We're just trying to build a ministry. We're just trying to deal the will of God. We're just trying to build the kingdom of God. We're just trying to empty out hell and fill up heaven. Somebody say amen. Yeah. And I understood, we understood that if we're going to earn our bones, they have to see our life. Yeah. They have to see our life. Our disciples have to see our life. So we moved and we opened up a men's home and we brought men in to live with us, men that were the roughest of the rough, men that were like David's men that came to the cave of Adullam. They came to the cave of Adullam. The Bible says that these men were disgruntled men. These men were men that were in debt. These men that were on the run from Saul. These men, listen, they didn't have a lot going from them. They were on the run, but yet they came to the cave of Adullam where David was. And they made David their leader. It says it was a couple of hundred men that came there to the cave. And they slept with David in the cave. And they rose with David in the cave. And they listened to David in the cave. And they allowed David to disciple them in the cave. What did David do? David was earning his bones with them. David gained their confidence. David gained their trust. And so they made him their leader. Amen. And building a ministry and building a church is about leadership. Listen, the only way we're going to lead people out of their mess is through discipleship. Through leadership. We're not talking about a quick fix here. We're not talking about a quick fix. We're talking about really helping people. Really helping people. It's like Code Red, man. That was awesome. Amen. Huh? You've seen ladies. You've seen prostitutes can't come in, all messed up, all man, all, you know, their hair everywhere. But then they left that place with a brand new hairdo. They left that place with a brand new smile, with a brand new wardrobe. They left that place and you can see Jesus on them. We're talking about really helping people. Victory Outreach is a ministry about really helping people. We're not just trying to reach transfer growth. We're not just trying to steal sheep, my friend. We're not into that business. We're into saving souls. We want to reach the gang member. We want to reach the drug addict. We want to reach the down and outer. I want the non-believer. Come on, somebody. Amen. We're in it to reach the non-believer. And listen, if those that come in from transfer growth, that's fine, my friend, because we can use all the help we could get. Right. But when you come, you must understand that we're about helping people.
Right.
We're about seeing a lasting change. Somebody once said this, you can give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, but if you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. We're not here. We don't have a men's home just for men can come in for three hots and a cot. Hey. Just so that you can get some rest, so you can get some strength for your next good one.
Oh my.
Huh? For your next binge. That's not what the home is for, my friend. Right. Listen, the home is for, we want men and women to come into our home because they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're tired of being on drugs. They're tired of running from the cop. They're tired of being an alcoholic. They're tired of smoking. They're tired of snorting. They're tired. And they want to change. And we know the change agent. We know the miracle worker. We know the one that can make the change in their life. It's the same way, the same one that changed my life. Because I used to be a drug addict. I used to be a gang member. I used to be addicted and afflicted. I used to be all messed up. But Jesus changed my life. Jesus turned my life around. 18 years ago, I was hooked on weed and on coke and on pill. But Jesus has set me free. And I have not tasted that stuff for 18 years. Because Jesus did a real change in my life.
Right.
But it
now is because of some real people, some real leaders that weren't afraid to get messy. That weren't afraid to earn their bones through discipleship. They weren't afraid to open up their life and let their life be a living epistle.
Yes.
Huh? If you're going to earn your bones, you got to let your life be a living epistle. We can't just show up and let people see us on Sunday. Listen, we look great on Sunday, but how do you look on Monday? How do you look on Tuesday? What are you doing on Wednesday? What's up on Thursday? Who you are on Friday? I understood I had to earn my bones with the people.
Right.
The people have to see our life.
Right.
We can't hide behind our AC and our good living and our job. No, my friend, we got to be out there. We got to be amongst the people. We got to be there on the streets, evangelism, rallies, hitting the streets. We got to have discipleship homes. We got to have a mentor. We got to open up a women's home. We got to have second phase. We got to have G homes. We got to be into discipleship. We need some leaders that are not afraid to earn their bones and say, I'm going to allow my life to be an open epistle to all men. Can you earn your bones? See, many times we don't want people to see our life because we know our life ain't where it needs to be. We don't pray. We don't read our Bible. What's in the refrigerator?
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on, somebody. How does our house smell? Come on now. Come on now. They have to see our life. That's why Jesus had the disciples with him for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, the disciples ate with them, slept with them, ate with them, and did ministry with them.
Right.
They stayed with him for 3.5 years. He poured himself into those men because he was discipling them, because he was gaining their confidence. He was gaining their trust. He understood by the time he left, by the time he departed, these men had to have full faith in who he was. And the only way that was going to happen is if he opened himself totally to those men. And because of that, those men, the Bible says, turned the world upside down and inside out. And that's the type of men and women God is still looking for today. He's looking for men and women that are willing to lay down their life and earn their bones and live their life as an open epistle that the whole world can see. This is how a man of God acts. This is how a woman of God lives. This is how a man of God treats his wife. This is how a woman of God treats her husband. This is how a man of God treats his kids. This is how a man of God lives.
Right back.
Ain't no faking and shaking.
Hey, come on.
Ain't no sipping saint. Ain't no smoking prophet.
That's right.
Come on.
We're living our life before the presence of God. And what I preach here on Sunday, you see me living on Monday.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on, get close to me. You ain't gonna smell no Bud Dumber.
Hello.
You ain't gonna smell no Marlboro Red.
Hello.
Black and Mild.
Wow.
Wacky Tobacky. Come on, somebody. You ain't gonna see no dilated eyes. Huh? But you're gonna see some eyes with passion. We all, my friend, I may look like this. I may look, you say, man, that pastor look like he's still set tripping. I may look like I'm set tripping. I may look like, but when I open up my mouth, you hear the word of God. When I open up my mouth, you don't hear me talking about this and talking about that. You hear me talking about leadership. You hear me talking about the kingdom of God. You hear me talking about building disciples and raising up leaders and building a ministry. Why? Because that's what a man of God is supposed to do. We're earning our bones through discipleship. I'm here to pour myself into you. I'm here to pour myself out like Paul poured himself out. I don't want to get to heaven with a full cup.
Oh,
preach. There it is.
I want to be poured out.
Amen.
You got to earn your bones. See, leaders that stop sacrificing stop succeeding.
Wow.
People that stop sacrificing stop succeeding. You want to succeed, you got to sacrifice.
Right.
So many people want to succeed without the sacrifice.
Wow.
Huh? There's no way around it, my friend. You stop sacrificing, you stop succeeding.
Right.
See, listen, legacy is not what you do now. It's what you leave behind. Huh? What will you leave behind? Now, don't get me wrong, you got to do something now. Because what you do now determines what you leave behind. But you got to think about what you're going to leave behind. Huh? Listen, we can't get, I seen a post today
one of my friends, they said this: don't be so caught up in your past, but also don't be so caught up in your future.
Oh,
stop living in the present. Because if you're always just caught up in the past, boy, you can't go nowhere looking in the rearview mirror.
That's right.
Wow.
But you're always so caught up in the future, you ain't even doing nothing now.
Wow.
You're just going to be daydreaming and having nightmares all the time.
Wow.
Nightmares of your past and daydreaming of your future, but ain't nothing getting done.
Wow.
We got to do something now. We got to earn our bones now. We got to put our hands to the plow now. We got to do rallies now. We got to do evangelism now. We got to do discipleship now. We got to pour into people now. We got to serve God now.
Yeah.
See, God uses regular people, my friend. The stuff that I preach is like, man, it's overwhelming. Pastor, I'm here to tell you, God wants to use you. How can God use me? Man, how can God, you mean God wants to use me like he's using you? Yes, God wants to use you like he's using me. Why? Because I'm just a regular Joe. I'm just like you. You cut me, I bleed. Hello, somebody. I get hungry too. I get sleepy too. I get tired too. But God uses regular people. There's nothing special, my friend. The only thing you need to have is a surrendered heart to God, is a winning spirit for God, and say, God, I'm down for whatever. I'm DFW. Hello, somebody. Down for whatever. There's four things the bones represented. Four things these bones represented. Let me read that verse again. Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments of his bones. These are the two issues he decided to talk about on his deathbed. They must have been important.
That's right.
They must have been important for him to talk about these things on his deathbed. These two things. What did he say? He reminded them of the departing of Israel, meaning the departing of Israel out of Egypt. In other words, he was reminding them that God brought them out of Egypt.
Yep. Come on.
And then he just pops. He just throws a monkey wrench in there. And he says, and my bones, don't bury them here. Because he died in Egypt. And he says, my bones, listen, they don't belong in Egypt. They belong in the promised land. So I don't know how long you're going to be here, but I know this, you're not going to be here forever. Yes, at that time, Egypt was good to the children of Israel. They were living in the land of milk and honey in Egypt. But Joseph understood the promise of God. And he understood that God had a promised land for his people.
Right.
And so therefore he says, listen, even though I died in Egypt, my bones ain't staying in Egypt. My bones are connected to the promise.
Right.
And so therefore, the Bible says he gave commandment concerning his bones. And so we have to know what these bones represented. The first thing they represented is they represented the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. That God would come through. And why was this important? Why was it so significant? And why was it so impactful when it came down to Joseph? Because you got to understand Joseph's life. You have to understand what Joseph went through. You have to understand Joseph's struggle, Joseph's dreams.
Amen.
You got to understand Joseph's pits.
Yeah.
You got to understand Joseph's cell. You have to know about Joseph's palace to understand Joseph's faithfulness.
Wow.
Joseph was a man that had, he was a kid that had it all, that his dad gave him a coat of many colors. People said that his dad's favorite. But his brothers, even though he had favor from his father, he was hated by his brothers.
Hello.
His brothers were drinking that haterade.
Oh,
So much that what did they do? They threw him in a pit. Oh my God. And they conspired to kill him, their own brother. He was his own brothers were going to kill him. And they threw him in a pit. They say, no, we can't kill him. That'll be cold. Let's just sell him into slavery. And he was sold into slavery. And they took him to Egypt, and he wound up in Egypt as a slave. But God was so faithful to him because he had the favor of God upon him. That even in slavery, God raised him up. And he became Potiphar's chief attendant. And the Bible says that he had a maid in Potiphar's house because Potiphar was a wealthy man. A well-to-do man. He worked for some high-up people, and Potiphar liked Joseph so much that he put Joseph over all. The Bible says over all his issues, everything in his house. Joseph was the head. Joseph was like his right-hand man, and God was faithful to him. But then Potiphar's wife starts to get Google eyes for him. She starts to go after him because she sees the anointing of God on him. Listen, guys, before women wouldn't look twice at you.
Come on.
But now that you have the anointing of God, listen, don't think it's you. It ain't you. It's God's anointing. And so Potiphar's wife tries to sleep with Joseph, and Joseph runs from her. He runs from her. He avoids her. Because she was after his anointing. But one day she caught him, the Bible says. She caught him and she said, come to bed with me. And she was pulling him. And Joseph said, no, how dare I do such a thing? She said, my husband won't know it. Listen, your husband may not know it, but God's going to know it. And I live before God, and I have the fear of God. And so therefore, he says he took off, he ran. And she, when he ran, he realizes his clothes were not with him. And he was naked, but he didn't care. Because he cared. He was more concerned about his salvation. He was more concerned about his integrity. He was more concerned about his character. I don't care how I look. I don't care if I ain't got no clothes on. I'm more concerned about honoring God. She can keep my clothes. But listen, God has been faithful to me. And how dare, even though through all the mess and all the drama I've been through, God has still been faithful. Even in the pit, God has still been faithful. Even in slavery, God has still been faithful. And so therefore, because he's been faithful, I'm going to be faithful to him. And then we know the story. Her husband came home and she started to cry to him. She says, Joseph tried to sleep with me and I got proof. Here's his clothes. Potiphar got mad. He got hot. And he says, you find him and bring him here. And they found him. They brought him here. And Joseph tried to tell him what really happened. This is what really happened. Oh, but listen, he didn't want to listen. He said, no. You try to sleep with my wife. So therefore, he threw him into the prison. And there he was in prison for something he didn't do. He could have got bitter. He could have got mad at God. Because he was in prison for something he didn't do. But he didn't. He didn't. You know why? Because he knew God was faithful. Amen. When you think about Joseph's bones, you think about a faithful man. You think about a faithful man. And when he gave commandments concerning his bones, it was because those bones represented the faithfulness of God, that God would come through no matter what happens, no matter what situation you may face. He was preaching through his bones. He was preaching through his bones that every time the children of Israel would have to handle their bones, that even though they lived in Egypt, listen, and there his bones lay, they understood that when they walked out later on, when Moses finally came to the aid over 400 years later, They listen, you know what happened? They remembered the bones. They remembered the bones of Joseph. It was a period of 400 years that the children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, my friend. Oh, but when Moses walked them out of Egypt, my friend, they didn't forget about the bones. You know why? Because Joseph, their leader, Joseph, their prince, he gave commandments concerning his bones. And listen, they listened to him. Why? Because he earned his bones. He earned his bones through the character that he had. He earned his bones through the integrity that he had. And so therefore, 400 years later, because he earned his bones, people still did not forget about him. Amen. Because he left a powerful legacy. What will we leave behind? What will we leave behind? Will our life make such an impact that 400 years from now, people will remember what we do? I love that movie, Gladiator. I love that movie. Yeah. The guy that plays a character. I remember the beginning. They're going to go into war. And then as they're going into the war, he's on his horse. And he's a buff dude, kind of like me. And all the soldiers are like lined up right there, right? And he's the leader. He's the commander. And he's riding and he's encouraging. He's giving them like a preaching. He's encouraging them. And they're going against a powerful army, and he's encouraging them. And as he's riding this horse in front of them, he says something like this. He says, "What we do today,
yeah,
will echo in eternity."
Ooh, good.
What are we doing today?
Wow.
Getting high, living selfish, drinking. Is that going to echo in eternity?
Wow.
Is how you're living today going to echo in eternity? Huh? It's how you're living today. Man, I pray, man, that an unsaved person comes. I want the unsaved to come into this church. And I want the unsaved to get saved. And I want that unsaved person to for God to raise them up. And for God to give them a wife. And for God to give them a family. And for those children to be saved. And for those children's children to be saved. And so that, listen, one day they're going to tell their children, one day Grandpa went into Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. And he gave his life to Jesus because there was this crazy man up there spitting at everybody, yelling at everybody. I think his name was Pastor Francisco. Oh, but listen, I'll be long and gone, my friend. But what I did today echoed in eternity. How about you? Can you earn your bones? Can you earn your bones and preach the gospel and bring somebody to the Lord? You might reach the next Billy Graham. You might reach the next Nikki Cruz. You might reach the next Greg Laurie. You might reach the next Pastor Sunday.
Amen.
They represented God's faithfulness. When the children of Egypt left, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they took Joseph's bones. But when they went to go get his bones, they remembered how faithful Joseph was. They remembered all the stories. They remembered the story how he was in the pit. They remember the story how he was in the palace. They remember the story how he was in the prison. And they remember the story when he went back. When he went, not palace, but the Potiphar's house. And they remember the story how God raised him up to be in the palace. And they say, my God, why did God do that for him? Why did he go through all that struggle? And he went through it all, but yet he did not neglect God. Yet he did not curse God. Yet he did not blame God. And because he did not blame God because of the hardship that he was going through, how many times we start to blame God because we go through a little hardship? How many times we start to blame God because bad things happen to good people? Yes, bad things happen to good people. Welcome to the real world.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean God ain't faithful.
Man.
God is still faithful.
Right.
If anybody could complain, it could have been Joseph.
Yeah,
some of you are like, I don't know who Joseph, I don't know what you're talking about. Go study the Old Testament and read about Joseph and you'll see.
Good.
All I'm telling you is true. For the sake of time, I ain't got time to go through all those scriptures. I give you this one scripture because it's a powerful scripture. And it ties into what we're talking about this morning. But when the children of Israel looked at Joseph's bones, they remembered Joseph's faithfulness. They remembered how he was a faithful man of God. But in order to be faithful, you got to have faith. In order to be faithful through life's struggles and storms, you've got to have faith. See, faith strengthens. Fear weakens. As leaders, we put great expectations on God. If you're going to be a leader, listen, you're going to be a leader that believes God for big things. We serve a big God.
Amen.
We serve a big God, and so therefore we must believe for big things. That has always been my mentality. I don't serve a little bitty God. I serve a big God. That's why we preach about church growth. That's why we preach about a mega church. Why? Because we serve a big God. And as leaders, we put great expectations on God. Why? Because He's able to fulfill the order.
That's right.
This is why you got to dream big. Quit dreaming itty bitty. Dream big. Joseph didn't get bitter. Through all he went through, he didn't get bitter. He got better. Because he had faith. And he knew that God was faithful. See, what happens is when you get bitter, you start to bear bitter fruits. Bitter people, you reproduce what you are. And when you live a bitter life, you're going to get bitter stuff. Joseph didn't bear bitter fruits. He bore better fruits. The second thing that his bones represented, Joseph's bones represented, is they represented the favor of God. Amen. They represented the favor of God. The favor of God. When the children of Israel, they seen those bones again, those bones that have been there for hundreds of years, not only were they reminded of God's faithfulness, but they were reminded of God's favor. God's favor. Huh? God's favor. Joseph had the favor of God on his life. Somebody once said it like this: favor ain't fair. And you know, his brothers looked at him like, why is dad giving him the coat of many colors? Why is dad, you know, why is he dad's pet? Why is this and why that? And you know, why is, you know, why does man, it seems like, you know, man, everything good happens to Joseph. You know why? Because he had the favor of God upon him. Yes. Huh? He had the favor of God upon him. And listen, every child of God has the favor of God upon them.
Yeah.
Huh? You have the favor of God upon you. Quit trying to get the favor of your boss. Quit trying to get the favor of that girl. Quit trying to get the favor of your parent. Quit trying to get the favor of whoever. Learn to get the favor of God, my friend. When you have the favor of God, listen, your boss will have to submit to God. Come on, somebody. Because it's God that holds the hand of the king in his heart.
Right, man.
And God directs his heart wherever he wants.
Right.
It's like people that, you know, judges sometimes, you know, we have people that get court committed to the home and we go to represent them. They get saved and the judge says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to let you go. Why? Because you got saved. You gave your life to Jesus. You've been praying and now you got the favor of God on your life, and favor ain't fair. These bones represented the favor of God. See, anyone who has a mission from God inherits God's favor.
Wow.
If you have a mission of God, if you have a mission from God, don't trip on how it's going to happen. Just walk in your calling.
Oh, God, good.
Just walk in your favor. Anyone who has a mission from God has the favor of God. How have me and my wife been able to build this church, my friend? I'm telling you how, because we came with a mission from God. It wasn't our mission. I didn't grow up wanting to be a preacher. I didn't grow up wanting to be a pastor. I didn't apply for this. God called me into this. God drafted me into this. This is God's plan that He had for me. And I was just dumb enough to believe God. And so I just came out here on the mission that God sent me. And we've been having God's favor. And listen, I don't know why you listen to me, because sometimes I don't know how to speak. I don't know why people come and hear me. All I can know is the favor of God upon our ministry, upon our life. But it's because if it's a mission from God,
yeah.
It's a God idea. It's not just a good idea. I think it's a good idea to start a church, honey. No, my friend. It's a God idea. Anyone who has a mission from God inherits God's favor. See, a successful man, a successful woman is one who can build like Joseph built. You know how Joseph built?
Joseph built with the bricks that were thrown at him. He got them. Oh, that would hit me. Thank you, though, still. He was a kingdom builder. He was a kingdom builder. He kept on catching all the bricks that were thrown to stone him, all the bricks that were thrown to kill him, all the bricks that were thrown to take him out, all the bricks that were thrown that gossip, all the slander, all the opposition, all the lies, all the things that happened to him. He just caught him and he started to build the kingdom of God. He started to build something with all the bricks that were thrown at him. How many bricks have been thrown at you? Don't look at them as a bad thing. Change your perspective. Understand that opposition has a purpose, my friend. That stuff that you're going through, there's a purpose. If it doesn't break, if it doesn't kill you, it only makes you stronger. And a successful man is one who can build with the bricks that have been thrown at him. Don't get mad when people talk about you. Don't get mad when people belittle you. Don't get mad when people hurt you. Build with it.
Right.
Don't let it make you bitter. Let it make you better. You know, sometimes you got to listen to them people.
Come on.
Somebody once told me there's a little bit of truth in sarcasm.
Come on. Wow.
Huh? Sometimes our greatest critics can be our greatest assets. Huh? Because your friends don't tell you the truth.
Come on.
Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, but your enemy, huh? The person that don't like you. Oh, come on. They're gonna take the truth about you, and they're just gonna put a lot of salsa on it. Come on now. They're just gonna add to it, but there's a little bit of truth in it. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on now. There's a little bit of truth in it. And you gotta learn. You gotta learn, like they say, learn to eat the watermelon and spit out the seed, baby. Eat the good stuff, but the bad stuff, spit it out. And it's that good stuff that you're gonna use to build. You're gonna use to build. God is gonna use to build your character. God is gonna use to build your destiny. God is gonna use to build your calling. God is gonna use to build your future. Eat the watermelon, spit out the seed, build with the bricks that have been thrown at. The third thing they represented was the fear of God. They represented the favor of God. It represented the faithfulness of God. And thirdly, it represented the fear of God. When the children of Israel seen Joseph's bone, because remember, he gave commandment concerning his bones. You don't leave my bones in Egypt. You don't leave me in this place. Because I've seen the promised land. I've seen the promised land. I've seen what Egypt is going to do to my people. It's good right now. But it's good because of me. But I'm departing and it's going to get hard. So therefore, God's going to rescue you. And you're not going to be here forever. You're going to depart Egypt. But take my bones with you. And they went to get his bones. And they remembered God's faithfulness. How he was faithful to Joseph. They remembered God's favor. And they remembered that Joseph feared God. He feared God. See, Joseph knew that God was watching. And that's why he did not fall with Bathsheba. Not Bathsheba, Potiphar's wife. David should have knew that God was watching. And he wouldn't have failed with Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Some people think she's innocent. She ain't innocent. Huh? What was she doing taking a bath outside? That's a different preaching. But summer's around. Be careful. I know you're going to go to the swimming pool. You're going to go to Hurricane Harbor. Cover up. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on now. I know we didn't know how to add this in your BC day, but now you're AD with Jesus, after the death of Jesus. Huh? Come on, somebody. That's a different Bible study. I ain't even going to go there. But I should. Have the fear of God. Have the fear of God.
Have the fear of God. Don't be a stumbling block for your brothers.
Right.
Men, have the fear of God. Have the fear of God. Even when you're alone, my friend. Listen, we're not going to be able to hold your hand every day. Pat, I cannot hold your hand day in and day out. Josh cannot hold your hand day in. Irby cannot hold your hand day in and day out. You got to learn to hold the hand of God. And you got to know that even though nobody else is watching, even though your leader's not there, God is there. And he's watching you. He's watching you. He's watching you. He's watching you. Have the fear of God. God inside, not to be flirtatious. Have the fear of God inside, not to commit adultery and fornication. Have the fear of God, not to be a sipping saint. Have the fear of God, not to be a puffing prophet. Have the fear of God, not to be a potty mouth. Have the fear of God. Have the fear of God. Guard your heart. Protect your testimony. That's the type of man Joseph was. He could have got away with it, probably. He wouldn't have. Potiphar's wife was right. Her husband was away. Her husband was away. But Joseph understood. God is watching. And even though my leader's not watching, even though my boss is not watching, God is watching. God is watching. Listen, when you lose the fear of God, you lose the respect for God. Wow. When you lose the fear of God, you lose the respect for God. We must have a respect for God. Right. We must have a reverence for God. The fear of God is not that we're afraid of God, though you should be afraid of God. Some say, oh, we shouldn't be afraid of God. Psh, I don't know what Bible you've been reading. Huh? But my Bible says every time an angel appeared, people would tremble in fear. Huh? Oh, God doesn't want us to be afraid. No, my friend, but oh, wait till you stand before God. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And rightly so, we are to have a fear of God. It's to have a reverence for God. It's to have a respect for God. It's to honor God. Right. See, when you fear God, you will obey God. Yes. And when you lose the fear of God, you lose the respect for God. And when you lose your respect for God, don't expect people to respect you.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to respect me? I ain't going to respect you if you don't respect God.
Come on now.
Yeah. Huh? You know, that's how I was. I was a gang member. Oh, I'll get respect. Nobody respected me. Oh, I'll get respect around here. Yeah, they still lock me up, dude. I still did time. The judge didn't respect nothing. Come on, somebody. They still shot at me. Come on now. Huh? Thought I had respect. Huh? Had no respect. Huh? Had no respect. But listen, when you respect God, that's when you have respect. God teaches you how to be a man of respect. God teaches you how to be a man of honor, how to be a woman of honor. When you learn to respect God, God teaches us how to be respectful people. We have to have the fear of God so that we don't lose respect for God. We gotta pray for that fear of God. Listen, my friend, and we have to pray. And listen, the more that you're saved, the longer that you're saved, the more you gotta pray, and the more that you gotta hang on to the fear of God, because we can get to a place where we learn to do things in the flesh, and we stop relying on prayer. We stop relying and leaning on holiness and leaning on the presence of God. And so the longer that you're saved, the harder it gets. It don't get easier.
That's right.
It doesn't. But you got to hang on to the fear of God.
Amen.
You got to hang on to the fear of God. Fear God. Fear God and have faith and believe. Listen, believe that you're going to succeed. Believe that God is going to make you successful. Know that God is going to prosper your ministry. If you're building a Bible study, earn your bones and build that Bible study. You're building a ministry. Earn your bones and build that ministry. Earn your bones and build that home. Earn your bones and raise up under the get raised up in leadership. Do something for God and know that God is going to anoint you. And listen, as long as you have the fear of God, as long as you have the fear of God, as long as you have the fear of God, God will bless your life. God will use you. God will raise you up. Yeah. And lastly, the piano player can come up.
The bones reminded them to move forward. The bones reminded them to move forward. Don't stay here. Don't stay here. This is why I say he gave, the Bible says he gave commandments concerning his bones. He says, listen, when you guys leave, take me with you. Take my bones with you. These bones that I worked so hard for, this all that's left of me is my bones. This is all that's left of me is my bones. Just dirt. Just dust. From dust to dust. From dust we came, to dust we shall return. But that dust, them bones. Though Joseph became rich, though Joseph was a prince, though Joseph had it all at the end of his life, he had so much that he was able to be a blessing to his family and to the whole nation of Israel. They came in just a few, but they left millions. They came in just a handful, but they left a million man army.
Wow.
Not even an army, but they left a million.
Wow.
They said that it was about a million people, a million Israelites that Moses led out of Egypt.
Yes.
But Joseph was no fool. He says, I don't have nothing. You ain't gonna remember, but my bones, take them with you. And through the wisdom of God and through the spirit of prophecy, my God.
Come on now.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22.
Wow.
He made it. You know what Hebrews chapter 11? You know what they call Hebrews chapter 11? You know what they call it? The Hall of Fame of Faith. They call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Fame of Faith. Huh? You didn't know that? If you don't know, now you know. Read it. Study it. You see Moses. You see David. You see Elijah. You see all these people of faith from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And where's Joseph? Right there. Right there. Thousands of years later.
Hey.
He gave commandment concerning his bones. And his bones still speak today. Today. What you do today will echo in eternity. What are you doing with your life? Are you earning your bones? What are you doing with your life? Are you just living for self? The bones reminded the children of Israel to move forward. You know what? Because it would have been real easy for the children of Israel to say, no, Joseph brought us here. Our leader, our great patriarch, our great forefather brought us here. And Moses, now you're trying to say that we got to leave here? They could have got caught up with that mentality. And so Joseph, through the spirit of prophecy, he says, oh, I know my family. I know my brothers. I know my brothers. I know my peoples. Sometimes they get stuck. Sometimes they get stubborn. Sometimes they won't want to move. So I need to give some commandments concerning my bones. When it's time to go, go. When God says to move, move. When it's time to uproot and move, go to the promised land, you get up out of here and go to the promised land. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck in your slavery. Don't stay stuck in your mess. Don't stay stuck in the past. It's time to move forward. God is about to do a new thing. There's a new season. God is opening up a new door. It's time to move forward. You can't get stuck in Egypt. It's time to move forward. Move forward. Take my bones with you and move forward. That's what the bones represented. God is saying here today, it's time to move forward. Victory outreach. Don't stay stuck in the past. It's a new day. It's a new season, my friend. The page is being turned in your life, my friend. It's a new chapter. It's a new verse. God ain't soul and they're in your bones. Time to quit hiding out. It's time to stop being paralyzed. Fear paralyzes. Faith releases. This is what these bones represented. This is what these bones represented. They represented so much. You know, the Holy Spirit, man, He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. This message is a message I heard years ago. And you know, I preached this morning on earning your bones. On earning your bones. I preached on Friday. I preached today. I was tired. I need to take a siesta. We went home after we ate. We ate. And we left all the bones because we ate chicken. I even put a picture and put it on Facebook and said we earned our bones today. And I went home, take a little nap before the second service. We're talking, me and my wife, God moved in the service. She's like, okay, baby, take a nap now. I said, I can't. I'm going to preach tonight. Amen. It's like fire. There's going to be some dead bones that are coming tonight to SNL. God says, speak to the dry bones. Speak to the dry bones. You're going to rise up and become a vast army. A vast army. People may look at us and Victory Outreach, oh, what are they going to do? Oh, man, that's the drug addict church. Oh, that's that church with these crazy always on the streets. And oh, but listen, my friend, they may look at us and say, we're just some dry beat up bones. We're just some dry ex-addicted bones, my friend. Oh, but God specializes in the bones, my friend. There's something about bones that when man sees nothing, God sees something, my friend. I bet you the children of Egypt, when they seen the children of Israel carrying Joseph's bones, they're like, what are they doing? Why are they carrying a mummy? Why are they taking those bones? My God, they really lost it. I don't understand them people. Oh, my friend, it's because they don't understand our God. They don't understand that our God is able to do something out of the bones. You may be a dry bone here tonight. You may be dried up, shriveled up. You may be tired. You're like, I've been serving. And you feel dried up. You're in the right place. Because God specializes in dried up bones. God specializes in speaking life into dry bones. And he speaks to the bones. Bones live. Bones live. He breathes life into the bones. He breathes His Holy Spirit into the bones. And those whole bones, they start to rise up and they start to get connected together. Listen, we might be a dry bone. Oh, but when we start to connect with God and we start to connect with the Holy Spirit and we start to connect with the church and the body of Christ, all of a sudden life begins to happen. And all of a sudden we begin to function together, my friend. And God raises up a mighty, mighty army for His honor and His glory. God specializes in doing something with the bones. Yes. Earn your bones. Earn your bones. Make the sacrifice. Don't stop sacrificing. Don't stop sacrificing. Continue to lead the army into battle. And sometimes even if it seems like you got to go by yourself, go by yourself. You go. You keep going forward. You sacrifice and earn your bones. What about your bones? I've been earning my bones for 18 years. I earned them in prison. I earned them in the home. I earned them in the second phase. I earned them in the youth ministry. I earned them in VO Dallas. I earned them in Arlington. And I'm still earning them here, right and now. And I earned them through sacrifice. And I through sacrificing. I'll be old man, I'll be preaching the gospel. You might have to wheel me up here in a wheel, but I'm going to be preaching the gospel. I'm wearing my bones. Huh? Somebody once said this. My pastor used to always tell her this, and let me close my Bible to give you hope. He used to say that, but he used to say this also. He used to say, live your life so well so that when you die and they bury you, the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. As a preacher, I marry and I bury. I'd rather marry. Sometimes some funerals can be the hardest. Because you don't know if they're saved. You don't know if they give their life to Jesus. And I got to go up there and I'm like, oh, God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. I can't tell them that their loved one's going to hell. Oh, he was a good man. But then the family is looking at me like, is he talking about Theo? Oh, he was a God-fearing man. Is he talking about our brother? Live your life so well that at your funeral the preacher don't have to lie. But he'll be able to tell the truth. She loved God. He loved God. And the proof is all you that are here. Because he led many of you to Christ. That's why you're here. Because he led many of you to Christ. And you will never forget what this man, what this woman did to you. They told you about Jesus. They prayed for you. They discipled you. They cried with you. They worked with you. They got into your mess when you were all messed up. And they weren't afraid to get messy with you. And to deal with you. And to rebuke you. And to counsel you. And to love you. When everybody else threw you away. When everybody else walked out. They walked in. And they only walked in because God walked in. And they sat with you through all your mess ups. With all your hiccups. And yes, when you backslide, they went after you. They went looking for you. They didn't leave you alone, but they followed up on you. And they said, man, it don't matter. God still loves you. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of first chances and second chances and third chances. And even in your deathbed, and even at your funeral, your bones will be speaking. We're not going to stay here forever, my friend. It is appointed once for a man to die. Then comes judgment, the Bible says. How are we going to live our life? Earn our bones. Let's help people. Let's win public victories for people. Let's build the kingdom of God. Lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, if God spoke to you, the altar's open. The altar's open. You come. You say, you know what, man? I want to earn my bones. I want my bones to speak. I want to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God. Well, that's why I'm here on a Sunday night. I could have stayed home, but I said, I want more. I want to do more for God. I want to be equipped. I want to learn how to hit the streets more. Earn your bones by hitting the streets. Earn your bones by working with people. By loving people. By not giving up on people. By praying for people. By ministering to people. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.